Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented cat, that's C-A-T, flying by the seat of her pants. Cat, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all your premier podcast platforms. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram. Give us a follow. We found either one of us on TikTok. We'll TikTok to you. We are going to shout out two towns in the Asian area of the world that are listening to us. Our first is an oldie but a goodie, Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. Ho Chi Minh, formerly known as Saigon, is the economic heart of Vietnam, the hub of the southern region. Saigon's name was changed to Ho Chi Minh City in 1976 in honor of the communist leader, the Ho Chi Minh. After North Vietnamese victory in the Vietnam War. Remember that war, babe, when we were kids?
Ho Chi Minh. Ho Chi Minh.
Ho Chi Minh. Our other town is Bengaluru, India. Bengaluru is an important part of India's Silicon Valley, leading to the hub of information technology. I would think that's a very important city there in India.
We got somebody from India listening?
Yes.
Because we have a lot of people living around here in India.
That were formerly from India. Anyway, giving you all a round of applause.
All right, alcohol keeps this podcast lubed up. You know, alcohol is the perfect solvent. It dissolves marriages, families, careers. Today, I'm sipping Hennessy, and I'm not ashamed of it. I tried it a couple months ago. Little sipping brandy. It tastes good to me. Kat, what you got?
Just having an old school glass of Chardonnay.
Woo, sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, Dawn.
All right, today we're going to go old school, and we're whipping out the board games. That's right. Turning back the clock. You're going to see if you can remember pretty much the only fun we had back in the day, and that was going to the closet. Remember, Kat, and pulling out a box that had like a folded board and some colored plastic pieces, maybe some dice in there.
Right.
And, you know, sounds exciting, doesn't it, young cats out there?
Well, interacting with other people, you know, not in front of your phone.
What are we up to now? PlayStation what? Five, six, 12?
Okay. Five. Switch 2 just came through the other day, so.
Board games. You know, that's all we had. Now, where did they go? You know, around here, the toy stores are all history. I guess all the board games went in the dumpster. You know, the video games.
I don't know. Here.
Maybe a tad more exciting.
The global board game market is valued as a $14 billion industry in 2023.
Really?
Yes. So 15%.
My people, where are they at?
In the U.S., 15% of adults play board games daily, 37% weekly.
I love it. I didn't know. I mean, that was, you know, that was all we had. You know, Kat and I being kids of the 70s.
Right.
We had Candyland, Monopoly, Checkers. The smart kids knew how to play chess.
Right.
Monopoly, by the way, is available in 37 languages. Maybe that's why there's such a big market. Maybe other countries are buying all these board games. Well, I don't think it's nobody over here.
We had, back when we played with the kids at, I think, the other house, we had the NHL version, I believe, and we also had the Simpsons version of Monopoly.
We had a lot of versions of Monopoly. The only problem with Monopoly is you got to put a good 2, could be 3 hours. Sometimes people peace out and go, you know, I can't take another second. Or you could just go and buy all the crappy properties and get bounced out quick. Like, I'm just going to lose and go home. I was a big fan of Clue. Clue was a cool game.
That was my favorite.
Yeah. It kind of made you think a little bit. It wasn't just, did I get a 7 on the dice, you know? The Game of Life was a very popular game created, believe it or not, in 1860. by Milton Bradley.
That's when we played. You had to spin the little dial.
Milton Bradley created a lot of board games.
Right.
The thing that ticked me off about that Life game was I could see where maybe chicks liked it, little girls, because it was like a husband and a wife and the little kids. And, you know, dudes are like, I'm going to go play in the dirt. But you had those little freaking pegs. Remember? They were so that you had to stick in the car or whatever.
Right.
And they'd fall out. It's kind of cheap. Milton should have made a little sturdier game. Let's see. Kat and I, when we started dating, we would open up a bottle of white Zinfandel. I didn't know anything about wine, but, you know, when you first start dating a girl, whatever, you'll try whatever, right? And so we would play backgammon. Right? Remember that, Kat? We played backgammon all the time.
We played a lot of backgammon.
Kat would put the Smiths, the Queen is Dead, playing in the background. Oh, the good old days, wasn't it, babe?
Yep. Good times, good times.
Of course, I let her win. You know, I wasn't that stupid. Backgammon originated in Mesopotamia 5,000 years ago. I said 5,000 years ago, one of the most popular games ever. Especially if you want to put a little money on it. Backgammon, that's a gambling game.
That is a gambling game.
I used to hang out at this pool. I played pool there. And backgammon for money was always going on in there. Okay, it was, I ain't saying it was legal and shit, but I saw it go down. Speaking of dice, the game Trouble was very popular because it had this plastic bubble. Remember, Kat, in the middle of the board where you'd press it down?
Right.
And it'd pop up. And that thing was called the Pop-O-Matic. It actually had a name. Freaking genius. You know, you had to get, I think it was like four pieces around the board first. Of course, your opponent could like send you back right to the starting line. That was a big component of a bunch of board games back in the day, is whatever game you were playing, you could get right to the finish line. Remember, Kat? You'd be like, all I need is a one or a two. And then here comes the other dude, rolls up, bumps you or whatever, back to the start you go.
That sounds a lot like when we play Uno at Christmas Eve every year.
That's a great part about Uno. You got Uno card. You got one card left, and then pick two, bitch.
I mean, but did you have like a favorite one of like the little kid ones? Like I used to play Break the Ice, and then there was one that was like little crickets that had to hop. And
I do remember that slightly.
Right.
And of course, you got to remember back in the 70s, these games were so cheaply made. These pieces of plastic they put in there. It would fall apart. Plus, you'd lose shit, right? When you opened the box, you didn't know if all the shit was going to be in there to play anyway. It was Risk was a game everybody played. Scrabble. Sorry was a big game. I could go on and on. How about Battleship? Not really a board game, but do you remember the commercial? Oh, you sunk my
battleship.
Battleships kind of stood the test of time. Kat actually got us an electronic battleship game complete with the sound effects. I could pull that out downstairs, slap some double A's in it. We'll play later on tonight.
Okie dokie.
Battleship's kind of cool. It's a game of chance and a little skill because you've got to remember. Well, you don't have to remember what numbers you called in letters because you could put a peg in
there.
You know, some games like chess, complete skill. Some games are dependent on luck and skill. Backgammon, you know, you got to get some rolls to win that. There's certain moves you know in that game. Of course, the greatest board game ever created, and the one that I mastered, is Stratego. Stratego! That was a commercial, too. I'll take all comers in that game. There's actually an annual Stratego World Championship every year.
Okay.
I should enter.
Have you heard of this one, the best-selling game? Maybe because it's Asian. I'm not sure. Catan?
I have not.
Catan is the top-selling game in 2022. Monopoly holds the Guinness World Book record as the most played game, with 5 million people having played it. 500 million people have played Monopoly.
Well, Monopoly's cool because, like, when you're a kid, you know, a lot of people may scoff, if that's a word, at the board game. But always keep a couple board games around, you know, because... What? Big storm comes through?
Big storm comes through.
And electricity goes out, and the board games come out. Especially if you have kids, right? Board games, you know, really can't be played alone. Need a friend, family members to play along. Sometimes your family or friends will tell you, nah, you know, because the game takes too long or whatever. But, you know, spending time with your friends and family, you know, without all the noise of the world in the background, it is a great way to spend a little time together. Right, Kat?
Right. I think there are bars now where they're just dedicated to board nights some nights.
There was one up here in Shore Pump. They had some kind of gaming place where you could go in there and play. Very, very cool. All right, let's roll right into One Tough Son of a Bitch. All right. It's Simon Bolivar.
Bolivar.
Close. Born in 1783 from Caracas, Venezuela. Simon, say his last name.
Bolivar.
Was the fourth president of Peru and the first president of Bolivia. Pretty spectacular for someone who lost his parents at an early age. Then his wife of only a year fell ill with yellow fever and died. So Simon
Bolivar
said, fuck it, I'm going to join the military and try to fix this South America shit. And he started with his home country of Venezuela, then spread his cause across other South American countries. His story kind of reminds me a little bit of Shea Guevara, a little bit. Simon
Bolivar,
a Venezuelan military and political leader who helped Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru,
Panama,
and Bolivia all gain their independence from the dirty Spaniards, right? The Spanish Empire.
One time he had all of them unified. They're called Gran Colombia, with Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Panama. And he was the first president of all these countries.
Pretty badass dude. Earning him the title, the Liberator?
El Liberator, the Liberator.
Yes, the Liberator. And that makes Simon
Bolivar
one tough son of a bitch. Did we watch something?
We watched something, and it's pretty good. And it's called The Lowdown, the creator, producer, writer, director, Sterling Hajo, who's before did another thing for FX called Reservation Dogs, which I would also recommend. He did this with Ethan Hawke. It's a gritty exploitation of a citizen journalist, Lee Baron Rabon. He is running around Tulsa trying to find the corruption that's going on around town, and it kind of reminds me a little bit of Fargo, where stuff is going on. And it's kind
other
of
other stories going.
It's not quite as violent. I'll put it that away, but it's good because you kind
no
of
no wood chippers involved.
No wood chippers involved. Lee lives and works in a rare bookstore tucked in the heart of Tulsa, a local refugee and unofficial community hub. Lee's no idealist, he fiercely committed to exposing the corruption and unearthing of the city's hidden rot, even though it's put him at risk. He constant sleuthing puts him deep into Tulsa's underbelly. And it's pretty good, because you kind of see, you don't get a lot of That's thing with Fogo. A lot of stories there in the Midwest.
Nothing going on.
Nothing. You know, you don't think anything's going on.
Always in L.A., New York, or Florida, something. Yeah, it's
and of course, he's got a 14-year-old daughter, and he's got an ex-wife who's, you know, kind of
trouble.
He's there to help him out when he's having a problem.
Oh, so she's nice.
She's nice. Anyway, I've watched a couple of episodes there on FX. You can watch it on Hulu. It's pretty good. And it's, you know, different. It's also like Fargo. There's different characters and stuff and interesting people.
You know most of the actors and actresses, you know. Not really?
Oh, no, good. Not really.
Good.
So far, it's pretty good. I would recommend you check it out. The Lowdown there on FX and Hulu.
The Lowdown. What's the Lowdown on some liquor?
Okay, today we've got a somewhat nice looking drink here. It's called the Malibu Sunset.
Wow.
It's 3 or 4 ounces of pineapple orange juice, but it just did pineapple, 2 ounces of pineapple, 2 ounces of orange, 2 ounces of Malibu coconut rum, and a little drizzle of grenadine.
It's kind of layered.
It's kind of layered.
Oh, it looks like a sunrise.
It looks like a sunset. It's called a Malibu Sunset.
It's got a smell to it, too. Ah, it's good.
It's good.
It's really good. I hate coconut.
Do we hate coconut?
I could smell it before I drink, but it is a good drink. What's it called?
It's called the Malibu Sunset.
Thank you, Kat.
You're welcome.
All right, this week we were bumpered in with a band called The Radio Department. Formed in 2001 from, is it Lund, Sweden?
Yes, we've had listeners from Lund, Sweden, believe
it
or not.
Get out of here. Right out the gate, the radio department sent recordings to the music magazine Sonic, and Labrador Records heard it and signed them. First album came out way back in 2003, and the NME gave it a 10 out of 10. That's good enough for me. Unfortunately, the radio department, you've heard this story, right, had a dispute with Labrador Records, and they had to lay dormant for a while. It happens to a lot of bands. In 2023, the radio department signed a new deal with Cobalt Music. We stumbled upon this band, and I'm glad we did. The radio department are kind of a mix between like chill music and shoegaze and dance. I don't think, whatever. It's whatever you want to call it. I can't stop listening to it. Are they playing anywhere?
Nowhere.
Nowhere. All right. Well, check out the radio department wherever you get your music. I want to thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch. We will see y'all down the road.
See ya.